Welcome to EAA Radio and Squawk 1200. I'm Wireless Mike. We have also Paul joining us today. And
it's always nice to be back, Mike. Glad to work with you.
Good year to be here. Beautiful weather. And joining us today also is Nicholas George F.
That's correct.
Yes.
All right. And you have a lot of titles here with us today. You are representing the International Federal Partnership?
That is correct.
And what is the International Federal Partnership?
It is a collection this year of 10 different government agencies involving mainly the United States as well as the island of the Bahamas. And our purpose here is that is mainly education outreach to educate the membership and general aviators of the what's available to them from different federal agencies. And for the island of the Bahamas is how to travel to and from that will benefit the membership as far as knowing the rules and things like that. And they can answer a lot of those great questions there.
And Nicholas, we know you're located in a National Federal Pavilion. What can visitors see when they visit the pavilion this year?
Right. When they look out on the map, where they will see the Federal Pavilion, and that's where the International Federal Partnership is located. And this year, what they can see there is, first of all, we would like to welcome back Homeland Security Field Operations from the Chicago office. They always have a great display, and as part of that is they do a demonstration involving the dogs and that's always a popular forum that people like to go to. In addition, new this year is that the National Weather Service and NOAA have a great display about how they use UAVs. So obviously we can't fly them here, so it's a static display, but it's a great forum as far as interacting. One, as far as what the Weather Service does, but also what is available to the pilot through the Weather Service sites. In addition, the National Park Service, where I am the agency lead, we have the 1928 Fairchild. It flew in here yesterday, and it will be flying out on Sunday at 11. That is the original aircraft of the National Park Service. It was restored back to its full glory by the current owner, Greg Herrick. And the plane is housed at the Golden Wings Museum. It's in a private collection, and we appreciate Greg allowing us to use the aircraft. And then last, something new this year is under Homeland Security, we have Global Entry. This is one of the few spots that Global Entry is actually able to complete all the application processes. Normally, they're at other locations that are more permanent, but this is the first effort of trying it at an air show, and we're hoping that it's successful.
And you mentioned that your main mission is outreach and education. You're responsible for some other forums on the EA grounds, is that correct?
That is correct. On the grounds, we have the second largest number of forums that occur, but we have the largest number of forums that the pilot can go to for WINGS credit.
And if somebody doesn't know what WINGS credit is, what is that?
Well, it's like anything else. If you think of it as like kind of like a teacher certification, once a teacher gets their license, they have to stay current. And if you don't stay current, then obviously you become outdated and you can then cause problems. And WINGS credit is kind of like that as well, is that to stay current as part of your licensing process, you do need to attend continuing education on that. It's required. You got to have so many WINGS credit to keep your license valid. And it's a great way here, obviously at EAA, it's a great way to go to many different forums, get that credit, so you can then send in. The beauty here is because of the federal partnership, in many cases, once the class is done, you immediately fill out the paperwork, and then that is immediately sent over to the FAA. So it's pretty seamless as far as getting it.
And that WINGS program is a substitution for your biennial flight review, from what I understand?
Okay, that part I have to admit, I do not know.
Okay, I'm going to go with yes, it is. And that allows you, if you don't want to do it in the traditional style, that you can take it in a little bit different way and actually learn something. They're really, really good programs that have a lot of knowledge to be passed on.
And what are the hours of your opening exhibit at the Federal Pavilion?
Well, we actually follow the operating hours of the grounds. Pavilion opens up at 9 a.m. each morning, and we close at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Rain or shine, as long as we don't lose power, we will continue on with the forums, and the exhibits will stay open during that time frame. I do encourage there are some really great things. It's also a great opportunity for the membership to actually interact directly with a government agency. There's no way that we can know the answers to everything, but the nice thing here is that, one, you have the ability to actually relay on an issue or find out information. If we don't know the answer, we can normally find someone that does.
And maybe it's a little bit too early to tell since this is just the opening day, but which exhibit gets the most attention?
Well, there's no doubt about it. What gets the most attention certainly will be the dogs. the hounds are lovable creatures. They are very happy to come and see you. The German shepherds, while looking lovable initially, they can definitely be destructive. And the exhibit that they do in the forum, as far as the demonstration, will give you a new appreciation for, one, the training that the animals go through, their handlers, but it's just something that is definitely number one. Now, we'll say what's up there as well will be the Wright Flyer simulator. The EAA simulator that is at the museum most of the year is now down in the Federal Pavilion. It's always great is that you have to use all three elements of flight to fly it, and you can experience what the Wright brothers had to think. It's really really neat to see everybody after they get off it saying, wow, the Wrights, they made it look easy.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing at how difficult that airplane was to fly before they started refining and actually having a stick to use.
That is true. And talking about the stick, the 1928 Fairchild is a stick plane. I mean, there's also no hydraulics. The first time I met the pilot, I asked him, like, what's that bruise on your right knee? And he goes, the winds were strong today. And it's like, I didn't understand. He goes, oh, sometimes it's just two arms and a knee. Sometimes it's two arms and two knees.
That's a good story.
To keep it flying. And so I have a new appreciation for how difficult the early planes were to fly.
And Nicholas, what's your role at the National Park Service?
My role, I am stationed at Dayton Aviation Heritage National Historical Park, where I am the management assistant, and I work with a lot of the partners in early aviation. One of them, Wright B. Flyer, they are actually here on the grounds this year. They are exhibiting what they refer to as the Brown Bird. It's a 1911 lookalike. And my understanding is, I don't have the exact dates, but they will be participating in the afternoon air shows this week.
That'll be neat to see that flying.
Well, you know, they call it bugs in the teeth. Is that is that it's definitely an open cockpit. You are sitting out front, and you have your seatbelt on, and nothing but you in the air. And the bugs in the teeth come because normally the pilot keeps their mouth closed, but the passengers are just so excited that they're smiling all the time and never flying into the bugs.
So now, does that airplane? Where does that airplane normally reside at?
Normally, it's at Dayton Wright National Airport there in Springfield, Ohio, Springboro, Ohio, they actually they do demonstration flights throughout the year. Obviously, it's in warm weather because it is totally open as an aircraft. They normally do not fly in foul weather and things like that, but they have a great museum there. You have a lot of individuals that are very much into aviation and the heritage of aviation and trying to keep that alive. And again, on the grounds, if you do have an opportunity, like I said, you going by to see the aircraft, it is a lookalike, but it also gives you the feel for what the Wright brothers were flying, especially when they look at the 1903. Of course, their 1904 was not very successful. The 1905 is what made flight practical, where they actually control every element of flight very well. And then, of course, the 1911 incorporated, where you could actually sit up now and things like that. and you get to see those developments.
Right. But they're still very much a lightweight aircraft and very susceptible to conditions.
Well, you know, funny, that is exactly correct. We, at Huffman Prairie, that's where the Wrights conducted a lot of their early experiments at, is that the plane is made of spruce wood and is covered in fabric. And one of the pilots, Mark Dusenberry, built a plane, and he came out and said, "Oh, the dew is really, really heavy today." And I'm thinking, okay, what's the big deal? And then it's like the big deal was is that the fabric absorbed all that dew and added so much weight onto the plane. He had to wait until the sun came out and dried out the fabrics so he could take off.
Yeah, it's just amazing stories. And unfortunately, we're out of time. We've been talking with Nicholas Georgiev from the International Federal Partnership at the National Pavilion and also with the National Park Service. You're listening to EAA Radio.